The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. The Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast presents the Community Highlight. Let's go. Let's go.
Could you just, I guess, define what owner financing is? And then also, feel free to like give an example of one or times you've used it.
Sure, man. Yeah, so owner financing is where you basically turn the owner of the property into the bank. So since if they own a property free and clear, no loan against it, and you want to buy it, you're going to have to get a loan anyway from a bank. So you can say, hey, Mr. Owner, you know, would you be interested in, you know, getting monthly payments on this without having to do anything? Right. And kind of the way I structure that is I tend to ask people who own it free and clear, what they plan to do with the money, right, when they sell. You know, if they got, you know, I got to pay this, or I got to give it to my kids for this, or right. That helps you understand why they're selling for what they're selling for. But if they're like, oh, I'm just going to sit and put in the bank, right? Those are the people where you're like, well, you know, do you want the lump sum? Because the lump sum is going to be taxed heavily at X percent, right? You're going to pay, you know, you can do the quick math for them, you know, 35, 40% of their profits. That's tax man's money, right? That's capital gains. I said, or, you know, you can't, I'll pay you, you know, X a month, you know, for the next, you know, 30 years at this percent interest rate. Actually, I don't even suggest an interest rate. Pro tip, when you're talking about owner financing, ask them how much they want per month, right? If they don't know, then you can give them a number, but you say, hey, what if I made $600 payments for the next, you know, 3 years. And then after 3 years, we can balloon and I'll pay you off, or we can extend and, you know, we can push it out longer. Right. And you put that on a 30-year note. Right. And so if they say, yeah, $600 a month sounds great. Cool. Now you go work the numbers backwards, $600 a month over 30 years. You don't got to put an interest rate in. Right. They said they want $600 a month. So now you're paying all principal on your loan. Right. Now, some people will ask you for an interest rate, and then you can work out what interest rate that is. But a lot of the times people are just more focused on how much money am I going to get every month? And if that's all that they care about, then you don't have to pay interest. So, owner financing, like I said, if they are free and clear or pretty close to free and clear, right, if they still have a little bit left on it, maybe you can pay it off with your down payment, right? If they're like, hey, I still owe 15 grand, then you can be like, okay, cool. I'll put 15 grand down. That pays off your property. And then I'll pay you $600 a month, right? Something like that. Owner finance works great for properties that are already in good enough shape that you don't have to do a major renovation on. Right. Because a small bank loan, remember, the small bank's going to loan you the money to renovate the property. Right. If you're doing an owner finance deal, the owner's not going to loan you the money to renovate the property. All they're going to loan you is your purchase. Right. And so if it needs 20, 30 grand worth of renovation and you do an owner finance deal, then you're going to have to come out of your pocket 20, 30 grand to renovate it. Right. So I don't. for me, it's better to put those ones that need renovation on a small bank loan because interest rates are so cheap right now, and they'll loan me all the money to renovate the property. But if you find a good deal that doesn't need any work and you can just stick a tenant in it or keep whatever tenant's in there, and owner finance can be a great asset. Or if you, you know, maybe you've got savings, maybe you've got 20, 30 grand in a bank account and you can fund that yourself, then you can do an owner finance deal as well. But if you don't have that kind of cash, then, you know, a small bank loan would be better for a property that needs renovation.
Definitely. And a follow up to that question, how is the deal structured legally?
Yeah. So you have to have a real estate attorney draw up what's called a contract for deed. And what that basically says is, you know, you are buying this property, right? And you will get the deed once the contract is paid in full, right? Is basically what a contract for deed is. So it still gets filed in your name, right? So you are the owner. So you get all the benefits and tax benefits of ownership. You just have to have the lawyer draw up that contract for deed. And then you have to draw up or have the lawyer draw up an amortization schedule as an attachment to that contract for deed. So you can say, here's the contract for deed. Here's what I said I was going to pay you. And then here's the amortization schedule that I'm supposed to follow, right? That way, if in the event, say you default, right, and you stop paying, then that previous owner, who is now the owner of the contract for deed, can foreclose on you and take the property back. And so that's also a good pitch point too, when you're trying to pitch owner financing, is to let them know to say, hey, I'll pay you $600 a month. You never have to deal with another toilet or tenant, nothing. You have to take no calls. Like, I'll own the property. All you do is get paid every month, right? I'm going to fix this place up and make it look nicer. So if in the event, you know, God forbid something happens and I don't make payments, you can take this property back and you're going to get it in better shape than it's in now, right? You're going to have an improved asset that you'll take back. So.
And another question, if you could explain like your marketing techniques.
Yeah. So I use direct mail to find all my deals. I'll try to get that sunlight over there. I use direct mail to find all my deals. So marketing is that's a long subject, but you know, I'll tell you, there's a bunch of different off-market marketing strategies. And they all are going to require time or money or both, right? So I use direct mail, right? And I buy my lists of sellers, right? So I use Deal Machine. So you can go to Deal Machine. Here, I'm going to give you my Deal Machine login, Sam, or sign up so you can send that to the people. But so I use Deal Machine. And with Deal Machine, what I can do is I can go in there and I can pull a list of, you know, homes in my area that have equity, that are vacant or that are behind on taxes or, right, all these different motivational tags. I can pull a list and then right in Deal Machine, I can start sending them mail on the spot, like literally a few clicks and I can be sending mail. And then people get mail and they call me and then we try to work out a deal. So I buy lists and then I mail those people and then ask them, you know, can I buy their house? Also in Deal Machine, you can do driving for dollars. That's really what it was built for. And so, you know, as you're driving around, if you see houses that look like they're in distress, you can literally pull it up on the map, click on the house, right, and add it to your list and start sending a mail like on the spot. Or you can like skip trace their phone number right there while you're sitting in front of their house and then call them and ask them if they're interested in selling. It's a really, really, really cool tool. And I've shifted my entire marketing business into Deal Machine. So let me send you that link. So direct mail is my main source of finding deals. But some people do Some people do text message campaigns. Some people do cold calls, right? There's tons of different strategies. I just tell you that research the different off-market strategies for finding off-market deals. And there's my Deal Machine link. If you click there and you go sign up for Deal Machine, believe it might give you a discount. I know there's a free trial. That's what I did. I started with the free trial and immediately saw how valuable it was going to be and upgraded like instantly. It's, I mean, this thing is powerful. you can do direct mail. You can do, you know, you can buy a list and then skip trace that list and get phone numbers. And then you can cold call people. You can, do a text message campaign. You can, you know, you can hop on Facebook Marketplace and see what kind of distressed properties you find. Like that's a gem I don't think enough people do, right? So hop on Facebook Marketplace literally every day. Like if you don't have a marketing strategy, you need to be in Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist every day. Look in the, not just in the real estate for sale section, but look in the real estate for rent section, right? And start looking at properties, like look for rental ads for that have terrible pictures, like, you know, cell phone blurry pictures of the living room and bedrooms and bathrooms with no updates. And it looks terrible and tacky. Like that's money right there. Cause if you don't know how to advertise your property and you've got crappy pictures, the chances of you, what are you finding? You're finding crappy tenants, right? That's who you're probably going to get. So you're probably tired of dealing with the headaches. Your phone number's right there. Cause you're looking for a tenant. So call and say, hey man, I'm Henry. I'm looking to buy some property. I saw you were trying to rent it out. Would you at all be interested in selling it? You know, and super pro tip, if you do your analysis on the front side, you will know you can figure out like a ballpark you might want to pay for that property on the front side. So you can say, hey, you know, I see this property. It looks like, you know, two bed, you know, one bath, you know, 1,000 square foot, you know, I'd probably be in the ballpark of, you know, 60 to 90,000. I can't tell you an exact number without seeing it, but you know, I think I'd probably get somewhere in that range if you'd be interested in selling it, right? Because now you're talking numbers. You're not just saying, hey, sell me your property. You're saying, hey, I'd pay about this for it, right? That changes the whole dynamic of the conversation. And you might get somebody that wants to sell you their problem property, right? So yeah, look for those terrible ads, man. Terrible ads, both in the sale and in the for rent section.
Definitely.
My business partner bought a duplex like that. I just talked to a guy the other day who bought some land like that and flipped it. Like there's money in there. You just got to hustle and find it every day. You got to stay in there.
For sure. Follow up from Jasmine. How would you describe the percentage an LLC is taxed on a fix and flip or a wholesale?
It's not necessarily, I mean, it's the taxes of the tax, whether it's an LLC or you do it in your personal name. Like, I think it's just capital gains. And I know there's a different percentage for short-term capital gains versus long-term capital gains. And the difference between those two are how long you've owned the asset. So, I think you can Google that stuff. I'm like, don't quote me on any of that, but I know it's not cheap. But you know, that's why the entity is important, because you can start writing off expenses, and all those expenses are doing is decreasing how much you're going to have to pay in your taxes at the end of the year. Right. If you flip a house and you make 50 grand, but you got, you know, 70 grand in expenses, then you don't have to pay any taxes.
Definitely. So question submitted to me. So I'll make these the last couple questions just to be mindful of everybody's time. This is a really good one, actually. Has there been any conflicts with owner financing and probate/will issues? Like, what if the owner passes away before the loan payback term ends? Is that including the agreement? Just thinking about the average ages of some homeowners being 50 plus, like baby boomers, et cetera. Just wondering if the age of the homeowner makes a difference in that situation.
Yeah. No, I haven't run into any of those issues, but yeah, no, that's a great question. So owner finance, what that means is you're working out a payment plan for ownership of that asset with the current owner. You still have to go through the title process, right? In order to get ownership of that property, right? And so So no matter who has, you know, no matter who you're making those payments to, you still need to be making them. And if you're making them to the probate court versus the previous owner, doesn't matter. You don't want to stop paying just because the owner passes away. You know, who that money ends up going to will be up to the probate court and their family. But I believe you'll still make your payments, and they'll be held somewhere that they'll be able to get to. Yeah. So don't stop making your payments if they pass away, and who gets it is not, you know, it's not for you.
Yes.
To figure
if
out.
You want to hear the rest of this session and many others, click the link below to go to blackrealestatedialogue.com to join the Bread Investing community. We'll see you here next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.